Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Patience is a virtue. I have heard that line way too many times in my very short life here on earth. This is a long-standing mantra, you see, in my family, mostly because my mom would always bring up that when she was a child, she was said that her patience was golden. And you know, if she had to deal with me for the throughout my life and in high school, yes, her patience was indeed golden. This is something that we hear a lot, that to be patient is to be good, to wait and be patient for good things to come. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. With patience, you can weather any trials with calmness, to be able to gently answer questions that have maybe been said one too many times and not get frustrated. Also, when all of St. Louis seems to be under construction for the third time this year, I'm so sick of having to wait 30 minutes to cross Poplar Street Bridge. Yet patience often wears thin, especially in the wake of continuous, consistent aggravation. To remain steadfast in those situations is difficult, and to remain even patient, even more so. The prophet Habakkuk knew this. Some background to Habakkuk's book is that he was a simple prophet in the time of Israel when everything just seemed to be going wrong. The people of Israel fell away from God. They did not want to worship him as God wanted them to worship him. And even more so, they were in decline. The nation that God promised to love, the nation that God promised to take care of, wasn't doing well. On top of all of this, Habakkuk looked out and he saw the other nations of the world were doing just fine. And that irked him, made him mad. He cried to God, "Why are all of these evil nations doing so well? And why are we suffering?" He would even go on to say that he doesn't understand how God can even use these evil nations to do his will, while Israel is here suffering. He complains to God, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or to cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity and why do you idly look at wrong?" Habakkuk is at his wit's end. He needs an answer. His patience has worn so thin, you can't even see it anymore. And this is just right in the beginning of his book. And then the next chapter, the Lord answers. He says, "Be patient. Just have patience. I will give you the prophecy. It will not, you know, it won't stop. It will come. You just have to be patient. Trust in the Lord, for the righteous will live by that faith." I mean, these are true words that are never spoken. When God calls for patience, we better be patient. And these words are echoed so many times. The righteous will live by faith. Many times in the New Testament, by the apostles, by Christ himself. And so we here now are gathered together, patient, living by faith. And it's exhausting. Patience is indeed a virtue, and you can maybe have the patience of a saint. But make no mistake, it is exhausting. Yet God calls us to live by faith, to be patient for his work in the world, for him to deliver his judgment. And yet, it becomes aggravating when we look out into the world and we see everything seemingly going wrong. We see people still hating each other. We see people who are leaders trying to tear each other down to try to get one up on each other. We see so much violence in our world. We even see people now having to do almost the unthinkable to keep themselves safe. I heard that they were even making Kevlar backpacks to keep kids safe from school shootings. You look out into this world and you ask yourself, where has it all gone wrong? Why hasn't God just done something? Why? Why aren't you listening, God? Can't you look out in this world and see that justice is perverted? Can't you look out and see that there is suffering? Why are you idle? He tells us to be patient, and we are, but at some point, how? How can we remain patient? How can we remain steadfast in God amidst all the suffering in the world? How? There are few better places in the Bible that speak about this reality of how than in the Psalms. The Psalms are a fantastic and wonderful book of the Bible that not only gives us the hymnody that we love, it not only gives us the wonderful poems that David himself and others wrote that describe the majesty of God. They also speak to us in our grief, in our cries of how long. And in our psalm for today, Psalm 62, David exclaims this very notion of how to be patient and steadfast in a world that seems to go so wrong. David begins with this refrain that is repeated throughout the psalm. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. David reminds himself right in the beginning that God is there for him, that his hope is in God. God is like a fortress, strong, mighty, able to withstand any attack, and it will not be shaken. No matter how many armies are rallied against him, no matter how many arrows are thrown against the walls, no matter how many siege engines or anything that the enemy can come up with, God is there, strong, mighty, his fortress. He protects David. He guards David, and he provides for those who love him. There is indeed need for that defense. David goes on to say that he's almost exhausted. He is a king besieged at all sides from enemies, both from within and from without. He sees the great hosts of people that only want to do him harm. They do not uplift him. They do not care for him. They don't even pray for him. Instead, they look for every single chance to bring him down. They wish to destroy him. He writes, how long will all of you attack a man to better him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. The people within David's court, the people within David's city, they are false, untrustworthy, and they wish to tear David down. They surround him in his fortress, and they constantly beat at the walls. They constantly push against them. And David feels as if it now, that mighty fortress, that strong and sure defense that he has, is a tottering fence. And maybe even a simple gust will blow down. It is a leaning wall that even if it is one more person just pushes it, it will collapse. And David will have nothing. And he cries that this is happening to him. It's long-lasting pain. But it has to be tempered with long-lasting steadfast. In desperation, he reminds himself, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He commands himself, he reminds himself to wait in silence, to have hope in God. It almost seems like he's in desperation, crying out. He sees the evil of the world. He sees around him. He remembers the promises of God. He remembers that God is his sure fortress. He reminds himself again and again, wait, my soul, wait in silence. Have hope in God. He reminds himself then of what God does, of what the people around him and what they do. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. Imbalances, they go up, and together they are lighter than a breath. David reminds himself of the troubles and the problems of this world. Those who rail against him, no matter what it is, they are but a breath to God. That God does not see these things in our time, but sees himself in his own time. That he sees the problems of this world, and they are but a breath to him. And so this is to give comfort, to know that the problems that we have aren't even that big of a deal to God. Is this what David is saying, that what he's trying to comfort himself in? Is this what God says? Is this what God looks at this world's problems, what he looks at to what we go through? No, it is not. For you see, God spoke. Twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that you, O Lord, belong steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. See, God hears the complaints of David. He hears the complaints of Habakkuk. He hears the groaning from our own lips, even though they are only but a breath. Here in one moment and gone in the next, and he acts upon them. The one who has power over all, the one who is standing and reigning in majesty, he looks upon this world and acts in it on our behalf. He hears our cries and answers them with enduring, steadfast love. That love was made manifest in Christ. For you see, God had power over all, dominion over all. He reigned over all the world, saw all the world's problems, and they were but a breath to him. So what did he do? Did he just look at it and fix it all like that? No. He very well could have. But instead, he who saw the world but a breath became a breath and came down to look and to go into this world, to know our problems and our frustrations. He made himself manifest in the man Jesus. He who was without breath became breath and used that breath to proclaim that his kingdom had come, that he had majesty over all. He went and he healed the sick. He taught steadfast love and he showed steadfast love. He accomplished what the prophets were praying for, saving his people from their sins. He brought what was hoped for, an everlasting kingdom built upon himself, the cornerstone. He came, breathing new life into the world, conquering it through his death upon the cross, when he took all of the slings, all of the slanders, and he himself was being thrust upon by his enemies, surrounded at all sides. And he endured it for us. And he rose again from the dead, proclaiming his victory over this world. And so gives us this too, breathing new breath, new life into us through our baptism. For this is our God, a God who not only hears our cries, who not only sees the problems around us in this world, but came to this world to personally be with us, to personally know our struggles, and to personally see how he works, and to give us his steadfast love that endures forever. There will be times when God does seem far off, when we lose our patience with this world and all seems just to be bleak. But just as God promised David in the Psalms that he would be there for him, just as he promised Habakkuk that he would be there for him. He promised us that he would be there for us, showing steadfast love. He is our place of refuge. He is our place of strength. He is our place where we can go to and we can withstand the assaults of this world. And we who believe this, live in this assurance that he will come again to judge both the living and the dead. He will establish his kingdom that has no end, that he hears us and he will be with us and he will protect us, that he does not idly sit by, but will act for our sake. Let us go now, knowing that with this confidence, among all the chaos of this world, of all the stuff going on, we know that we have a Lord who is with us, who will strengthen us, who has power over all, and will be with us forever. Amen.